And you can either decide that you want to do this with me, or you can just let me go through it. Your choice. But I think the assignment that I'm giving you today is going to be to go through and actually almost do the same thing that I'm doing now, but to do it on your own. So you can either do it either way. Okay, so I'm setting up a department table, and I want to put on a primary key on it. Okay? So up until now, when we've created a table, we haven't worried about the keys. And we talked last time about primary keys on the department table and the inventory table. So I'm setting up the department table, and then I'm going to set up the inventory table. And I set it up and said, create the department, and I called it Department Wiz. And then I said I was going to have a primary key of department, which is two characters. Constraint is a way of giving the primary key a name. Okay? There are constraints that we can put on a table, which are basically rules. And here we're saying we want to set up a primary key. And so I'm telling it, set up the primary key. But then I'm also telling it that I'm going to give this setup of the primary key a constraint name of Department PK. And a constraint is, again, kind of a rule that I'm putting on this table. And I'm putting the primary key rule on it. And the primary key means that this field has to be unique. No two records can have the same primary key. So it has to be unique. When I make the constraint, I can get a list of them, and we'll see that as we go along. I always give it a name that says underscore PK, so that I know that this is the name
for the primary key, yeah.
What does constraint do again?
It makes rules, basically. Okay, as we go along, we're going to see that I can set up a constraint where I check a field for a range and say I only want things within that range, or I can check a field and say it has to be unique. Okay, so it gives rules to the table. And what the rule that I'm giving here is that this is the primary key, it has to be unique. There can be no department that has the same ID as one that already exists. It's got to be unique and it's got to be different. Okay. So then I'm setting up the department name, and I'm setting up the manager. Okay, so those are the three fields. If you go back to the example that we looked at Tuesday, where I was looking at the inventory table, this was the inventory table, and this is the department table. Okay? So notice that once I set it up this way, not null appears over here. And that basically means that the primary key also can't be null. You have to enter it. That's one of the rules in this constraint, is it's got to be unique and it's got to be there. You can't have an empty slot for your primary key. Okay? So it comes up with not null. Then I set up my inventory table. And I also want to give it a primary key. And the primary key for my inventory table is item number, and again, underscore PK, that tells me it's a primary key. So the key thing here is I've got my department table, and I've got my inventory table. Okay, now, we talked again on Tuesday about the fact that there's going to be a department on the inventory table, and we wanted to relate to the department up on the department table. Because we don't want to carry the department name on the inventory table, because that would break the rules of third normal form. So we want to have, if I want to know the name of the department, I've got to use the department code, link up there, and get the name of the department. If I want to know the manager, I've got to link up there and get the manager. Okay? So, that means I'm going to set up a constraint on this department. and this is going to be a foreign key constraint. So it is going to be the foreign key that links up to department.
So department being the foreign key is referencing what department with?
Yeah. All right. Okay, so I've got my inventory table, and I've got my, okay, so I've got my inventory table, I've got my department table. Department, I've already set up as the primary key here.
Yes.
Okay, I've set up item number as my primary key here. Then I've got department somewhere on this table, and I want to link it up to the department there.
Same department, same table as the item number or the inventory? There's only two tables, correct?
Right. Right okay. Now we've only got two tables.
Okay.
This is PK, this is PK. So I'm going to link the department to the department on the department table, which will let me get the department name and anything else on the department table. So once I make the link, I have access to everything on the department table.
The foreign keys are designed for all primary keys. Are designed to match?
They have to. Okay, again, as we talked about on Tuesday, a foreign key can only link into a primary key.
That's right, yeah, okay.
It can only link to a primary key. Okay, so the foreign key links to the primary key. And again, we talked about the practicality of that, that we don't want to repeat data
yep.
in multiple tables. And so the only repeat thing that we want are the things that we're using for linking. Okay, so I'm setting up my department as a foreign key. It links into department as my primary key. Okay, so the way I tell it that is I tell it constraint department underscore FK for foreign key, okay? And then I tell it what table to reference. So I said references the table that I call department with, which is up there, and it goes in to department. The reason I have to put that there is, again, something we've talked about, it is, in my opinion, better to call these the same name so I know that really I'm talking about the same data. But it's not a rule. I can give them different names. Okay?
That's just good practice.
Right. But it is always going to need to link to what I am calling the primary key over here. So this is the primary key. And I am setting up the foreign key here that is going to link into this table and into the primary key, which is department. Okay. Questions? Okay. Wait a minute, what do I want? I want this back. There we go. Okay, so now I've got the two tables. Now what we're doing right now is we've created the two tables, and as we're doing it, we're putting on the constraints, the primary key and the foreign key. A little bit later in the handout, we're going to look at how we can have set up the table the way we usually set them up till now with no keys, and how we can go in and add the primary keys and the foreign keys using the alta. Okay, because remember, the alta alters the structure of the table. So I can use an alta to go in and set up my primary keys and my foreign keys. Okay, so if I didn't do them at the beginning, I can go in and do them later on. So there are my two tables, and I've created them. Okay, now, the department key, right now I don't have anything, any data in those. Okay, and I want to insert a record. So I went and I said, okay, I want to insert a record into the inventory table. And the values are, and I set up the values that will go with the inventory table. and it gave me an error. Okay? And the reason it gave me an error was because I didn't have anything set up in the department table for it to link to. Okay? I had told it that I wanted to link over here, the VK here is the department. I had told it I wanted to link in based on BK and find book. Okay? So if you go back up and look at the data that I put in, I have, or the data I'm going to put in, I want the BK there, and I want to link to that BK. Okay, so I can't do it. So I said, all right, then what I've got to do first is put a record in the department table that has that BK. So I go in and I put a record in the department table. Okay, so this kind of means how I have to set these tables up. I've got to have values in the department table so that I have something for my foreign key to link into. Okay, because once I've set up the foreign key, it says I need something to link to. Okay, so that means I have to set up my department table first. And if somebody comes in and I want to add another product and it's going to be a new department, then I would have to go and modify the table and put in the department record first and then put in the inventory record so that it has something to link to. Okay? So then I came down and I said, okay, this gave me an error. Now I'm going to insert BK into the department table. And I did, and it created a row, and then I went back and did the insert down here, and it was able to do it successfully. I got the one row created. So it was able to do it successfully because it had the BK to link to. Okay? If I hadn't done that, it couldn't do it. Questions? And then notice I also used the set line size 120 because it was wrapping very poorly without that. Now it's still not wrapping completely. I'm still not getting it out of the size completely, but it's wrapping all right. Okay. So now I'm trying to do an insert into the inventory, and I've got the 1111. But I've already got a record out there with 1111. Okay, the record that I just put in up here with Ramona is 1111. So that would be breaking the primary key rule. I've also got an AA in here, and the AA is not going to link to anything in the inventory table, so that's going to bomb out for two reasons. I'm trying to put in a duplicate key, a duplicate primary key, and I don't have anything for it to link to over in the department table. It basically yells at me about the first thing and tells me that the unique constraint was violated. Okay, item number PK was violated. It wasn't unique. So it won't let me add the record with the 1111 in it. Okay? If I fix that, okay, so I fixed it down below, and I've got 1212. So I'm fixing it down below, and this time I changed it to TY, but that's still a problem. Okay, so I still got that it was validated. Violated because the parent key was not found. Okay, and it tells me which one, which is why I like these constraint names, because it is telling me it's department FK that's the problem. Okay, so I'm getting a diagnosis of why it was violated. It gives me a message, but it also tells me the field that was the problem. Okay? So by putting an FK on this, I know it was the foreign key that's the problem. So I tried to insert that and it wouldn't work. So then I went down and said, okay, now I'm going to do an insert and I've got a new primary key and I've got the BK there. Okay? So now it is able to add the record. My other alternative is if I really wanted this to come in under TY, is I could have gone to the department table and done what?
Create a TY.
So if I go to the department table and create a TY, that would fix it as well. Okay, so I either had to come up with an existing code here that already existed in the department table, or I had to go to the department table, make the modification, so I had the record in there. Yes, no, maybe?
No, I got that. That's
confusing. Anybody else got it? Questions? Okay. Now, if you want to know the constraints that they exist, I have in there the code that you can put up, and there's a couple of ways you can do it. But I asked it to give me the constraint name and the column name that the constraint was working from this table, which keeps all the information. Okay, that's one of the Oracle tables that keeps all of the information for you. And it comes back, and I say, where table name equals. Now, this only works if you put the department name in caps, okay? You gotta put it in caps because it's looking for a literal, and there's a lot of places where it will make the substitution between uppercase and lowercase. This is one of them where it won't. So you have to put the name of the department, even though when I created the department name, I did it in lowercase letters. It changed it, decided I really meant uppercase letters, and it now has to be tested for uppercase, even though when I created it was lowercase. This was one of those things that, and why? Why did they come up with that? Why did they change it and say, I've got to check for uppercase? But then this lists my constraint name and the column name. So this tells me department PK has to do with department. Okay? And if I do this for the inventory table, it's going to have two constraints. It's going to have my primary key and my foreign key. Okay? Questions? And there are the constraints. Somebody want to get the door? Thank you. Thank you. So now I did it for the table called Inventory With, and you can see I have the item number PK is the constraint on item number, and department FK is the constraint on department. Because in the inventory table, I have both the primary key and the foreign key. Okay. Then I did what I should have done way back when, and that is I created a backup. Because I was going to be experimenting, and just in case, I wanted my backup. So I created the table department with BK as select asterisks from department with. So that gives me my backup. Okay? And I did it for both of them. So that as I am playing with this, if I mess up, I've got a backup that I can go to and use without having to recreate and enter everything in. Okay? So then I came down and I said, okay, you can disable a constraint on a table. Okay? So I can say all of the tables and disable the constraint, item number PK. So if I want to do something to the table, and having that constraint there is going to get in my way, I can disable it. And there's a couple of places that we'll look at as we go along where I am looking for something that has to be unique or something that has to be not null. And if I want to disable temporarily and put something in, for example, that is null, and then I'm going to go in and update it, I can disable the constraint for a period of time, and then the next command we're going to look at is enable, which enables it. So this doesn't make the constraint go away, it just makes it not active. Okay, so I've disabled it. So for now, it's not going to have a primary key. And notice that I printed out the description prior to disabling it, and it said not null. And then I printed out the description after I disabled it, and the not null is gone. Okay, so that has been disabled. It doesn't mean it's disappeared. If I print out the constraints, it will show up. It's just been disabled. If I want to get rid of it totally, I use a drop, and the drop will get rid of it totally. But disabled just means it's not currently available. Okay. So I went in and I disabled. Now this one is kind of neat. I went into department with, and I said, disable the constraint, department PK. And then I added the word cascade. So that means that it disables not only department PK, that constraint, but it disables anything that links to it. So it cascades down. And I have on my inventory table a foreign key that links. Well, if I make this disabled, then the foreign key is not going to work, right? Because the foreign key has to link to a primary key. So what I can do is say, okay, when I get rid of this as a primary key, anything that links to it is not going to work. So I've just wiped out the foreign key as well and disabled it so that it won't be a problem. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Because once I've taken the primary key, a foreign key that links to it is not going to work. So if I put cascade in there, then it gets rid of the things that would be affected, basically. Okay? So then I went back and I enabled everything, and that puts them back in place. Okay, so the enable puts them back in place. Then if I really want to get rid of them, I can go in and drop. So here I dropped the primary key, cascade. And again, the cascade means anything that links to it got dropped as well.
So it dropped the foreign keys?
Yes. So it dropped the foreign keys as well, because anything that's going to link to it got dropped. Okay? And so I went in and I dropped them, and then I went in and said, show me the keys, and it came back and said, no rows selected, because I've just dropped them. So if it's dropped, it's not going to be there. Okay? So when I looked at the department table, I had dropped the key there, so no rows selected. When I look at the constraint table, the foreign key is gone, but I didn't drop the item number key. So the item number key is still there. Okay, so the foreign key is dropped because of the cascade, but the primary key is still there. Then I can go in and drop the primary key. So I dropped the primary key and it came back with the no rows selected, which tells me that it's gone. Okay? So now we're going to go in. We've gotten rid of all the keys by dropping them. Now we're going to go in and remake the keys using the altar. Okay? Because the altar is going to put the keys back in. So if I have a table with no keys and I say I want to put the keys in, I can do it with an altar. So I went back in and I said, okay, altar the title called Department With, add the constraint Department PK primary key on Department. Okay, so I'm altering the Department With, and I'm making the primary key. Okay, so I'm adding the primary key. Now, you don't actually have to use constraint, and I should have mentioned this before. You don't actually have to use constraint in any of these, and some of the examples that you're going to look at in the handouts that I've got online, don't use them. But I really have come to the conclusion that it is best to always use them, because then they have a name. And when the errors come up and I pointed out that it showed me what department, if it gives me a nonsense name, which I think it gives you an SYS, some kind of name, and I have no idea what that is, it's no help. But when it told me department underscore FK, that's help. That's telling me what it is, so that's help. So I've come to the conclusion that you should always use the constraint, so I'm just not emphasizing the fact that you can't, don't have to.
So the constraint command gives the process a name?
Yeah, it gives the kind of the rule a name. So if I wanted to, I could have just said add primary key department, and it would work. But then it gives me a name for the constraint, and God knows what that means. I mean, it's not going to be helpful to me. If I make up the name, I can make it meaningful to me. If I let it make up the name, whatever. Okay? So, I think the constraints are important. So then I said, okay, now alter the table inventory and put in the primary key. And then alter the table inventory again and add the foreign key on department, which references the table over here, references department with, and means that it goes into whatever is the primary key in department with. Okay? So it's creating the foreign key, and it is referencing over there. Okay, so I'm saying create a foreign key on the field department, which is within inventory, and have that field department reference to the department with, which has department as the primary key. Okay, so what I did is in inventory, okay, I set up first the primary key. Okay, so I first set up the primary key, then I came down and set up this foreign key and told it that it references department on the department table. Department with.
I have numbered it now a foreign key.
That's right. Department is a foreign key. Department is a foreign key that references into department up here, which is a primary key. Okay? So department, foreign key department is talking about this one right here. And then it says it references department with, which means it references into that. Okay? Because that's the primary key. So when it references a table, it's referencing the primary key on that table.
I don't know if it's a stupid question, but how does it know? You see how there's two departments? Now it's an active strength department foreign key. What it's called. How does it know that it's inventory is going to become the foreign key department? How do they know inventory is probably the foreign key compared to the department key's primary key?
Because they said these are the rules for writing the thing, and they made up how you have to write it. And they basically said the constraint part doesn't have to be there. But they said add foreign key department, and they said make that the field on this table inventory.
Oh, with, that's where it is, okay.
That I want to have this the foreign key, and then references department with means it references into the primary key on that table, and that table I haven't been writing the word with on these.
I get it now.
Okay, go ahead.
Could you separate that command and do like add constraints for the foreign key on the foreign key table and link it to the primary key after you've already made a primary key?
You have to have already made the primary key.
Yeah, there's no way you've made a foreign key.
You have to have already made the primary key. So this statement up here had to be done before this statement.
So you can't do it like willy-nilly, like just make foreign keys?
No. You have to have the place where you want to link to exist. Because if the place you want to link to doesn't exist, it says, yeah, right. You're promising me this, I'm not taking your promise, okay?
Or if
I want it to actually exist.
If I disabled it prior, can I add information like how are you saying? Can I add to foreign keys before I add hard keys if they're disabled?
You know, I don't think so, but in all honesty, I don't. I've never tried to.
Okay, no.
Because it.
And there was another thing I was thinking about. Like, so, for example, you can disable primary keys, and so that, that would allow you to have multiple the same part primary keys, right? Like, for example, item number. If I disable the primary key to constraint, I get.
That's right. But then, God knows what it would do afterward.
That's what I'm saying. If I re-enabled, would they be grandfathered in, or would they be dropped?
They're going to give you an error.
I don't know what kind of an error.
Okay. We can look at it and see, yeah.
Also, I know that you can't have multiple primary keys that are the same on different tables, but can you have multiple foreign keys that are the same?
I can link... I'm not sure I understand, but... I can take and have another table that has department on it, link. So that means a foreign key on two tables. I can have this table have a couple of things that link to other tables. So I can have a couple of other things on here that are foreign keys that link to other tables if I want to link to multiple tables to grab different information.
I think what he's asking is, like, you have more than one foreign key linked to the department. Like, say if I wanted something else in inventory with to link to that primary key. Like, can I have two foreign keys to one primary key? That's what he's asking.
Yeah. For example, let's say you have the item, like, inventory list, and then you have the, sales list, and both of them have department in it. Can you link department as two different foreign keys into the primary
key? Yes, because they are in two different tables. But if I had two fields on here that both link to there...
Yeah, that's what we're asking. Could there be more than one foreign key on a table?
No, that's not what you're asking. Yes, there can be more than one foreign key on a table.
That's what I was asking.
But they can't... There can be more than one foreign key on a table.
And can they still link to this?
But if I have two fields that link... I think it will probably let you do that. I can't imagine why I'd want to, so I honestly have never tried it because it's one of those things that I never thought of. Why would I want to do that? Why would I want to have a field called department and a field called another name for department, basically, and link them both to department? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that would make sense. You're
and
right.
So, you know, I don't know. I'm assuming they thought of it because somebody's done it someplace.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming it has some reaction, but I don't know what the reaction is. Feel free to go in and play around. But I can have as many fields as I want to that are foreign keys that link to other tables.
Of course.
Okay, so I can have something like
if I, and I'm trying to think of what I want there, but if I have some of the field in here, classification, let's say, I have a classification for the item. And so I can have the classification, have that a foreign key that links to a classification table that has information about the classification. So I could link that to another table. I can have a bunch of different foreign keys linking to a bunch of different tables. Does that come close to answering your question?
Yeah.
Okay.
I won't ask, does it totally answer your question? Okay. So I've now added all of those. So now if I go down, here are some other constraints that we can put in. Okay? I can add a constraint, so I can alter the table, and I could have put these in originally too. And I think I do that in the next handout that we're going to look at. But I can go in and I can alter the table and add a check constraint. Okay? And the check constraint means that I want to take the price field and compare it and make sure that it's greater than 5 and less than 500. So I am checking the data. This is not working now with keys. This is working with data. And I can check the data and make sure that it's within a range that I want. Okay? So down here, I put in, what was it, price, I think that's price. I'm looking down to see what I fixed it. Yes, that's price, okay? So I can go in and check, and on this one, this is price, and price is outside the range. So it tells me that it is outside the range, and it also tells me that I made a second mistake, and so it will pick up one mistake before the other. The other mistake I made is that this had been set up as 615 characters, and the name actually takes 16 characters. So it told me the first thing, and that was actual 16, maximum 15. So it told me that the item name field on the inventory with was not correct. It was actually not going to hold it, okay? Because the length that I needed was 16 and the maximum I had set up was 15. Okay, so I went back and decided that of wasn't too important anyway, and I got rid of the of. But I still kept the price, okay? So now it is giving me the fact that valid price check, which is up here in my constraint, that valid price check was violated. And again, by having that there, I know what was validated as opposed to it saying SIS15736 or whatever it is that it does. Okay, so I get that constraint and I know it. So this tells me that the price check was violated. I went back and changed it to $14.99 and the row was created. Okay? So the row was created. And then some other constraints that you have. The unique constraint and the not null constraint. And I don't know why they did it this way, but one of them, the unique constraint, I did with an add. And the not null constraint is with a modify. Okay. And actually, I should play around with that sometime and see if you can make the unique with a modify too. But I've always done that with an ad.
What would be the benefit?
Just curiosity. It's the kind of question that you ask. Okay. So, I've now got the unique constraint, and I decided that I wanted to have the department name unique. I didn't want any two records to have the same department name. So the department name isn't a key or anything. I just want it to be unique. Okay? So I went in and said, okay, add the constraint department UK and unique department name. Okay, so then I came back and I tried to add TN and call that books. Okay? And it came back and said the unique constraint was violated. And then I went in and changed it to teen books and it took it. So I changed the name and made it unique and then it took it. And then I said manager not null. So I tried to put in a manager and I put in null and it kicked me out. And then I put in not null and it took it. Okay. And this one, interestingly enough, when it gave me the error, didn't give me the constraint name, actually told me department with the manager is the problem, but it didn't give me the constraint name, which is the other thing that is kind of bizarre. And so then I went in and I inserted something and put somebody's name in as the manager, and it took it. Okay. Questions? Yeah?
Based on real-world applications, if you had a name that was too big for the item name, wouldn't you instead change the item name variable characters on the
page
itself?
Yeah.
As I do.
If you start having names that aren't fitting, you go in and you do an alter on the table and make the thing bigger. But laziness dictated that if I took out the of, I could put it in. And so I decided that was the way I was going to go.
Nice.
But yes, that is not a real-world example. You should probably keep the accurate name, title of the book. Okay?
Actually, close enough. You know, people still get it.
That's right. Exactly. Who's going to know the difference? Okay. So that basically talks about constraints. Now, what I want to go back and look at, when I took the Oracle classes, this indexes Oracle, and we'll get into indexes in a second. This is the one that kind of came out of that class. And it's got some good information in it, but it's kind of random the way they threw the stuff out. And so I went back and made that kind of example that I thought was a little more consistent. But this shows you that, first of all, you've got an index that they're talking about also that is a constraint. And they classified it all in the indexes and Oracle, and then they went in and really expanded it to constraints, and I'm really not kind of clear why they did it that way, but anyway. An index is something you can use. Let's see, the index. I was trying to see if they gave a nice definition. And they grouped with constraints, as they said. All right. They're not giving a nice definition.
If you go into the doctor's office, and I'll call the doctor's office, and they ask you for your patient ID number, and I always say, I don't know. And then they ask you for your name. okay? So what they've got is the patient ID number is the primary key. And that's what the records are organized on.
Name's a form?
But the name is an index. Okay, the name is an index. And the index simply means that they can get to it faster. Okay, so for example, if you take and you order by name, okay, and you come in and you are looking for Smith. Okay. If they go to here's a list of names. If they go to the halfway point, let's say the halfway point is Jones. Okay, that happens to be in the middle. So one look on Smith tells me that it's in this lower half, okay? So that means that I've eliminated half the records. If there's 10,000 records, I've eliminated half the records. And this is a very simplistic example. Oracle has their index structure set up, highly confidential, highly private, and highly their special thing to let them get fast things. But the concept behind an index is that, okay, I've now eliminated half the things, okay? So then if I come down here and North is the name that I have right there, I have now eliminated all of that because I went in and looked at the middle name and everything up to here has been eliminated and so it's down here. So with two searches, I eliminated 75% of the things. And I keep zeroing in on it, and eventually I'll find it. And it's a lot easier than starting at the top and looking at every single record, looking for Smith and that sort of thing. So the index sets up some kind of a structure. And I said it's a very complex structure that Oracle has devised that makes it do it, but that just kind of gives you an idea of how you can set things up. Now, the downside of an index is that when you add a record to the file, it's got to alter the index at all, and it's got to make adjustments. So you don't want to put an index on everything. You want to put an index on things that you search a lot, okay? And in medical records, there would be a lot of times where they would be searching by name. So it makes sense to have name as an index. But it doesn't make sense to have a lot of fields as an index because then you build up your maintenance. So you want to look at what it is that you are constantly going to be checking and make that your indexes. Okay.
So that's why they use a phone number in a lot of cases?
Yeah. You could use that, yeah. The thing that, you know, that people ask you is your alternative. Date of birth comes up a lot, you know, as confirmation of who you are. Or they may ask you your date of birth and they want to search. But that's going to get a lot of records, right, the date of birth, because there's only...
I just know, like, every club card or whatever for, like, grocery stores and stuff, it's always phone number.
It's always phone number, okay.
It seems to be.
Right, and that probably is unique. So that's probably the primary key in that case. Or maybe if that's unique.
Shoot, you just need a real life example. I wasn't thinking about that.
Right. I mean, that could be the primary key if that's unique. And it is, because obviously if it's not, you're going to be hearing from a lot of people. Okay. I think I took a picture of that, and now I want to make it go away. Okay, so now I have the things that we looked at today. We have the check, we have the foreign key, we have the primary key, we have the not null, and we have the unique. And those are the constraints. And I guess I understand why they all get grouped together, but I really don't, because primary key especially is something that is really very different than the other kinds of constraints. So I'm not sure I would group all of these together.
in this example, I used user constraints, which is the same general table. It has slightly different, I think I looked at them, and there's slightly different things on them. But I've got user constraints, and user constraints gives you the same things as the user cons constraint, which is the one that I was using in the other example. So this one, again, I created a table, and just to go back over this, I created a table, and the ID number PK is the primary key, and I put a check on the department to make sure that it was greater than 0 and less than 20. Okay?
So this is the same kinds of examples. And then I said, insert and I went down and I inserted a record. Then I tried to insert with the same record, with the same ID, and it yelled at me, okay, and said that the unique constraint was violated. And then I went down and tried to put in a department number that was outside the range, and it told me valid department check was violated, and wouldn't let me put that in. Okay, so I only have one record in there. And then I created another table, and I put the constraint on for the primary key and the constraint on for the unique. And when I tried to enter something with the same name, it kicked me out again. So essentially, these examples are very similar. And then I set up a foreign key, which had an ID, a name, and a department number. And I set up the foreign key and went through that whole business of it wasn't working. Okay. And there are the alters. So I did an alter and added the not null. Now the interesting thing about this is on this one, I added in a field and I said not null. And essentially, if you've got a file that has a bunch of records and then you try to add another column or another field to it, that field is going to be null. So you can't add it because you've got a not null on it. So I can't, if I want to add it and have it not null, I can't do that. So what you have to do is add it, put in the data, and then you can go back and do the not null. But you have to, it says up there that you have to do it by creating the table and at the beginning, it should be empty to put in not null. Well, the other thing is that you can just put it in and then alter the table so that it's not null after you've put in the column and the data. Okay, but you can't add a column and then say that it's got a not null because all the records that are on there don't have that column, and so they're going to be null. Okay. So you can, this is one of the places where you might also just decide, as I said, not to put that in and then go back and alter the table so that you have it. Okay, so if I want to set up an index, here are the indexes, and those weren't in the handout, so this is the new part that we're getting into. This is the index. So I created an index on that particular field.
So I created an index on an ID field. Notice there's no primary key on this. If there's a primary key, then I don't bother to create a index on it. But I created an index on that, and I created an index on the salary. And then if I decide I really don't want that index, I can do a drop of that index. Okay? And I said, now that I dropped the index, I'm going to go back and make it a primary key using the alter. So I went back and said alter and add a primary key. Now this is a place where I didn't use the constraint. And as I said, I've come to the conclusion that I think a constraint is really an important thing to do. And so I think you should use the constraint as opposed to just saying add primary key. And that's why I gave you the example that we went over. Okay, there are two others on this. This one is another set of examples. I've given you basically a lot of examples on this, mainly because I just wasn't comfortable with the way it worked, and so I went through and kind of made some other things. But you might look at these examples. I don't think there's anything particularly new and different on them, but you might take a look at them. And we will kind of go over on some of the notes on key questions. Okay. And this gets into the dropping and the cascading. And so I would also look at these. And I will try next Thursday to go over anything you're missing, but I think we've covered most everything. On the homework assignment, I am asking you to actually just do what I did. Okay? I want you to do this. It's as simple as that. I want you to go in and just do the creates.
Here's one. So
I want you to copy what I did. I want you to do it. Because just by doing it, I think you're going to keep track of, what's happening. So I just want you to go in and actually, and obviously it's a checkoff assignment that you did, but I actually just want you to go in and do it. There is one thing in here that I'm trying to find. And I'm not finding. Ah, come on. There it is. Okay, this has a primary key. This is the donation table. And the donation table has a primary key that is made up of three fields. Okay, so I'm going in here on donation because remember the donation, okay, we've got the three tables. We've got donor.
Drive.
And drive and donation. Okay, and the donor has an ID number that is the primary key. The drive has the drive number, which is the primary key. And the donation has the ID number and the drive number and the contribution date. And as I contribution date. And as I've said before, the drive number was not necessary to have in there. I could have just gone with ID number and contribution date, but I wanted to have information more about the drive, so I put it in. And this all together, and I only wanted three, and this all together is the primary key, okay? Because I want a donor to make multiple donations, so ID number can't be the key. I want them to make multiple donations to each drive, so the drive number can't be the key. And so ID number, drive number, and throw in the contribution date makes it unique. Okay? And date can include time. If I honestly think they're going to give two contributions on the same day, I can include time, and I can't date or enter two contributions in 1 second, so that becomes okay. Okay, so I've got these, and this is how I create that key. And notice it then takes all three parts and puts not null on it. Okay, so I've created the key for all three of those. Okay. Questions?
What do we need to submit to you?
This, what I did.
Okay, just
I want it to look like mine.
Okay.
I want you to really just do my example. Wait, not copy and paste, but actually do my example.
By any sense, what it is. I just literally see what you type it in, and just kind of.
Right, and you've got to create the tables, and you're going to, you know, go through and do it. But I just want you to go through and do it. And I realize that that seems like a really stupid assignment.
Hey, I agree.
There's not a lot of thinking and everything, but you'll be amazed at how many things you kind of fall into if you go through this. So anyway, it's an easy.
Man, I need easy. I'm 3 weeks behind, so okay. I mean, I'll do week 6 before week 4 and 5. Let me tell you that right now.
That's why we keep you in the class. You provide amusement.
I'm going to need Joe for this one. I'm going to take this one on my own.
Okay. So, there are a few examples left that I had, and I think they're all pretty clear, but we've got 10 minutes, so I'm going to just quickly look at. Still more examples is the one I'm bringing up. And I think we looked at this last time. Quickly. And again, you can do things in more than one way. So on this one, I did it once by using a subquery to get the information. And the other one, I used this and said, where drag name equals to any, and I just put all of the things inside quotes. So that was a way of not using the subquery. And then on the second one, I did one of them where I did a link. I needed two tables because I have the donation table and I have the drive table. So I needed two tables. So when I have two tables, sometimes I can look at it and say, I can do this in multiple ways. What way am I going to choose? Down here, I link the two tables and said, I want them where they link and the drive name equals animal home. Okay, so it went in and it got the drive name equal animal home. Because I had both tables readily available, it could just go in and say, I want all the ones with the drive name equals animal home. But up in this one, I was just using the donation table, and I had to link over to the drive table to get the drive number, because the drive number was on the donation table, but the drive number, the drive name was not on the donation table. So I had to say, go into the drive table, find the drive number that goes with animal home, which was drive number 200. And so now, show me the donations where the drive number is 200. Okay, so it went over and showed me, and I didn't need an in there. I could have used an equal because I was only returning one thing.
But the in is always safe. It's never, even if you're only returning one thing, it's fine to use an in. Okay, if I want it in this group. So that was, I could do it by linking the two tables, or I could do it by having separate selects for the two tables and having the inner select return the drive number that I needed. Okay, and it worked. And I found it interesting, again, how Oracle does things, God knows. But I found it interesting that this one gave it in this order, this one gave it in that order. They're giving the same information, but I got them in different orders. So that brings up the point that if you care about the order, you need to stick the order by clause in. Okay? If you care on the order that they're showing, you need to stick in the order clause. And then if I did an order by ID number, for example, or order by count amount, I would have got them in a particular order. And then I did this one, and this one really kind of lent itself to this and not to other approaches, that I couldn't come up with another reasonable alternative. Where I went to and said, select the year goal from Dono where the name is Susan Ash, and then I want to find everybody with the year goal greater than Susan Ash's and with the state of Massachusetts. So I want to go and get the year goal for Susan Ash, use that, and I'm saying where year goal greater than X and state equals Massachusetts. X being what I returned from the inner query. And then this one got into the group by. I said, show me the drive number and the sum.
And I went in and I said, group by drive number, having a drive number equal to the drive number for animal home. So having the drive number equal to 200. Okay. Or I could link them and say, and the drive number is equal. By linking them, I have access to both tables at the same time. With the subquery, I don't have access to both tables at the same time. I have access to the donation table for the outer and the drive table for the inner. But I don't have access to both tables at the same time. Okay? When I link them, I have access to both name tables at the same time, so I can refer to the drive name directly because I can see both tables. Here, when I have the donation, I can't refer to the drive name because the donation table does not have the drive name. And then I just added that one, and I don't quite know why. I just guess I wanted to play with the where. So this one has the where group by having drive number equal to, and I went in and got the drive number. And I could have done that the same way with the other one.
Okay. That's that handout. And I don't think I took a picture of this one. And I should have. Okay, now I get to just reverse them and I'm fine. And other examples, I think, are ones that we have looked at. These are average salary grouped by department number and then greater than, and I did a subquery. I think we're all set. Okay. So we have left a little bit more to do on indexes. Some kind of interesting other stuff. And then in about another week, we're going to start PLSQL, which is the programming language using SQL.
Oh, she's probably better at that.
Huh?
I might be better at that.
It's mainly done with a select statement.
Nope.
You just embed the select statement. But you can do, the nice thing about PLSQL is that you can break it up and say, I just want to do one record at a time. And then we get into the fun of curses, which I think are really neat.
Curses,
which basically you select a whole bunch of records, put it in a hold area, and step through them. So that's kind of neat. Okay, we're done.